We are about to embark on our children's phenology. We will be covering them in just a moment, but I want to start first with this note from our good friend Tony, who lives up on Dixon Lake, and he reports that the American Goldeneye and Hooded Braganzer egg clutches have hatched and jumped already. These are both cavity nesters, and like the wood duck, when they hatch, the little babies are persuaded out the nest by their mother, and they stand on the edge for a moment, and then they, trusting her, leap. And in some cases, it can be quite a distance. There's one great story of a clutch that was hatched on a cliff overlooking the Mississippi River down by Lake Pepin, and the little birds fell 80 feet before they, landed. But unharmed. They just hit the leaf litter and bounce and get up and follow mom to the water. So those are happening. He said, with a few wood ducks still incubating in nest boxes, Dixon Lake received almost 3 inches of rain over the weekend. Lake elevations are at bank level with floating cattail bogs moving and docks floating around. I've seen that before. Fawns are being born, and one fawn leg was found after a recent predator encounter. Molt geese are observed heading north, and still some more mushrooms, still some morel mushrooms in specific areas. And notice how Tony doesn't give you that specific area. He simply says that they're available. Good luck. I know that some of you are still out there gathering morels, and I commend you for your intrepid designs. Now we're going to turn to a bit of the student phenology. Funding for student phenology is provided in part by the Minnesota Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. Phenology talkbacks are produced by Charlie Mitchell. And our first report comes from the Phenology Club at Oak Grove Elementary School in Bloomington.
Hi, this is Principal Klein with the Oak Grove Elementary Phenology Club, turning in our final report for the 23-24 school year. With me today is...
Lindsay.
Annika.
Layla.
Carly.
Nora.
Nora L.
Gordon.
Sumiko.
Marley.
Callan.
Shayla.
Ellie.
Nathan.
Hannah.
This was our first ever Phenology Club. We had a wonderful time. We did so many great activities. We learned so much about nature and our environment and our outdoor school forest. Some of the things that we really enjoyed doing this year were...
We cleaned our forest.
We planted Kentucky coffee and ginkgo trees and also got some trees to plant at home.
So lots of fun changes in our forest.
Found puffer mushrooms, tracks, and identified species.
We built wind turbines.
Tapped a maple tree.
And we got some drone video of the forest and our school solar panels.
And I won the log competition.
Well, thank you for listening to all the great Oak Grove Elementary Phenology Club reports. Signing off from Oak Grove Elementary in Bloomington, Minnesota, this is Principal Klein, and have a great summer.
Adios.
See ya.
Tu eres queso.
Goodbye.
Signing off for this year.
Bye.
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 See you next year.
Peace.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.
Adios,
amigos.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, kids. And that was kind of interesting. A couple of foreign tongues in there, and that was really fun to hear them speaking. There's also a nice photograph of a lovely thank you note from, let's see, I'm not sure who the writer is, but the note will be on the internet.
Yeah, it's Nora.
Nora,
one of the people there. And she said she was thanking her principal for phenology. I've loved it so much. It has been something I look forward to in my day. I've learned so much this year on how plants live and grow. I'm going to miss it so much. I will never, ever forget this year of fourth grade.
Nice.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
That's why we do this. It's the roof. That's our reward for spending a little time with some kids and showing them that there's some pretty interesting things going on outside their doorways.
And she had the illustrations there of the puffer mushrooms, where she writes, so cool, and a sketch of a school rooftop seen by drone. She concluded with, I love nature so much, as you can see.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Great letter.
Can't wait to
Thanks,
hear from
Nora.
Her. Yeah.
Yeah. Our next report comes from Chad Caddett's class at Little Falls Middle School.
This is Mr. Caddett's first hour class in Little Falls Middle School. This is our phonology report for the week of May 26th.
Today is our last day of school, so this will be our last official report for the year. But hopefully we will be able to continue sending some reports over the summer, as well as updating our phonology Instagram page.
Lily pads are fully up on ponds and lakes, and there are multiple families of geese and ducks on every body of water in the area.
There are several different types of tadpoles in ponds and wetlands, and we've also found a tiger salamander in some damp soil of a garden.
There are wood anemones, wild strawberries, and wild geraniums blooming in the woods, and prairie smoke and wild columbine are blooming in the meadows.
The most exciting insect find this week was a rosy maple moth. They are a unique pink and yellow colored moth.
There are mosquitoes everywhere. Obviously, the recent wet weather has really helped their population. At least the bats and dragonflies will be well fed.
This week we spotted a black hole warbler, Cape May warbler, red eye vireo, scarlet tanager, indigo bunting, and a chimney swift.
The tree swallows are very active and loud around the bluebird houses.
We are seeing several turtles on land, both snapping and painted turtles. We are assuming they are females looking for a place to lay their eggs. We encourage everyone to be on the lookout for turtles this time of year and assist them in crossing any dangerous roads.
Thank you for allowing us to be part of the phonology broadcast and to share our discoveries throughout the year.
That is our report for this week. Until next year, keep exploring, keep discovering, and keep connecting with the great outdoors.
Thank you, Chad. Thank you, students. What a great report. Lots of interesting things going on down there. They're very, very acutely aware of their environment. Lily pads up and fully expanded on lakes and ponds. That hasn't happened up here yet, but coming. Tiger salamander, man, I would love to see one of those. I haven't found one this far east. They're mostly western and southern. Strawberries, geraniums, wood anemones, prairie smoke, another plant that I'd love to see, grows out on the prairies, not so much here in the woods. Columbine, and I'm excited to see how long it takes. They have columbine blooming in Little Falls. I haven't seen anything even in the way of flower buds on my columbine yet, so we'll be watching for that. The other note that I found, well, of course, mosquitoes are everywhere, and yeah, if you haven't been outside, why, bring both hands. You're going to need them. And kill as many as you can. I thought this was interesting. They're seeing turtles, both snapping and painted turtles, and assuming that they are females looking for a place to lay their eggs. We encourage everyone to be on the lookout for turtles and assist them in crossing any dangerous roads. I would go along with that. It's tough to pick up a snapping turtle. They're bottom shell, their plastron, is designed in a way that there is no part of the underside of a snapping turtle that they cannot reach with one of their heavily clawed feet. So if you try to pick up a snapping turtle by the shell, it's going to reach up with its feet and claw you. And so snapping turtles sometimes are best just shepherded across the road, maybe help them sort of keep the cars from hitting them, but don't really pick them up if you can help it. The other thing to be aware of, when you pick up a painted turtle whose plastron is much broader, and therefore there are places where you can grab a painted turtle and not get clawed, but they evacuate water when you pick them up sometimes. Not every time, but sometimes they evacuate water when you pick them up. They need that water to help form the walls of the nest that they're going to dig. And if they evacuate that water, they have to go back to a water source and replenish that supply before they can lay their eggs. So if I'm going to pick up a painted turtle, I'm going to do it very quickly, and I'm going to try and get it across the road and into the ditch as quickly as I can. And remember, note the direction they're traveling. They know where they're going. You don't. If they're headed across the road from left to right, take them to the right side of the road. If they're going the other way, take them in the direction they're heading, because, as I said, they know where they're going. You don't. But be brief, and watch out for them. There's really no reason to hit a turtle. That's completely unnecessary and kind of an act of I would say cowardice, and probably even more. I would go further than that. Say it's just a plain old stupid thing to do. So, watch out for turtles. They're getting ready to come across the roads right here. We have time for one more. And this one is from St. Peter and Paul School's trip to the Long Lake Conservation Center near Palisade.
This is Avery and Emmett from St. Peter and Paul School in Richmond. During our outdoor school trip to Long Lake Conservation Center on May 20th and May 21st, the low temperature was 50 degrees Fahrenheit and the high temperature was 71. The highlight of our trip was the return of monarch butterflies. As the wildflowers start to bloom, the pollinators are returning, including a variety of bumblebees. Me, Emmett, saw a blue damselfly on our walk to the bog. We need the dragonfly army to arrive in full because the mosquitoes hatched this week. They are pretty thick right now, and we were swatting them like crazy.
Our group loved the trek to the bog, where we picked a few cranberries. Bentley didn't like the taste. On the way to the bog, we heard and saw frogs and toads jumping around, and saw lots of different types of plants blooming, including bog bean, March calla, wood anemone, and large flower bellwort. Jude found a gardener snake, and the birds are singing. We found a turtle shell that was probably decomposing, and saw loons and trumpeter swans on the lake. It's a great time to be alive, and we want to remind everyone to unplug, get outside, and
live connected.
Thanks, Avery and Emmett. Great report. Glad you guys got a chance to see all those wonderful things. A damselfly, dragonflies coming out, swatting lots of mosquitoes. Good on you. Monarch butterflies, and I actually saw a monarch myself this last week. I'm anxiously looking for the Canada tiger swallowtail butterfly to come out. That's the big yellow and black one that's usually comes out in association with the monarchs up in this area. In the bog, cranberries, and then bog bean, March calla, wood anemone, and large flowered bellwort. Lots of things going on. Thank you, kids. Great report. Just got a note. This comes without identification from Otter Lake. Canada swallowtail and blooming columbine at Otter Lake on the 26th. So wonderful to hear that. I'll have to redouble my efforts to see both of those. And not sure. And I got a note from Chan. You remember Chan Dolan? We talked.
Yes.
I sent her a picture. I told her I thought that I believe the species to be Bombus vagans. And she says, looks to me like the two-spotted bumblebee, not on the second turgite. The yellow is just peeking out from behind the wing and isn't fully yellow. Half black would have had that turgite to be would have to have that turgite to be completely yellow. I'm not sure what the turgite is. I'll have to go back to my book and read a bit more, but thank you, Chan. Nice to hear from you again, and thanks for the help with the bumblebees. There are many and varied.
You can hear our conversation from earlier this month with Chan. It's available at our website right now, called Buzzing About Bumblebees, and really interesting conversation to talk with someone who's so passionate about her work.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that was terrific.
She said at one point, it's a big deal to be a queen in the spring. It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, well, fortunately, you only have to be queen for a day, queen for a month.
Okay.
You have to be queen all summer, but then you pass the crown to your offspring. And this report comes from Hamilton Elementary School's trip to the Long Lake Conservation Center near Palisade.
Hi, this is Mr. Bow.
And this is Asher Marshall from Hamilton Elementary School.
At the Long Lake Conservation Center, we saw a lot of animals, such as
loons,
beavers, insects, such as dragonfly larva, leeches, which was fun. We did go to a bog, and we did drink bog water, which was great. It tasted nice. The first thing I did is canoeing and archery, and it was amazing.
The first thing that I did was drinking bog water and visiting the bog.
My favorite memory from Long Lake is the archery.
My favorite memory from Long Lake was canoeing.
Unplugged, get outside, and live connected.
Thanks, Asher. Thanks, Mr. Bo. A couple of fellows there that went to Long Lake and got a chance to do some really outdoorsy kind of things. A little canoeing, a little archery, walking in the bog. That's always exciting. I tell people that I love to walk in bogs. And one of the reasons I like walking in bogs is that you almost never meet another person walking in a bog. You're not going to have to give way on the trail for too many folks if you're walking in a bog. And you're going to see some pretty interesting things as well. So get out there, get your feet wet. You won't be sorry. I've got a pair of ratty old tennis shoes. I bring some dry socks and dry shoes, and I just go slogging through. And when I come out, I change my socks and shoes, and I feel pretty good. Both because I've been in a bog and seen lots of stuff, and I've got dry feet. Our next report comes from Lincoln Elementary School's trip to the Long Lake Conservation Center.
This is Ian.
And this is Gloria.
And Oz from Lincoln Elementary in Anoka. During our outdoor school trip to Long Lake Conservation Center on May 22nd through May 24th, the low temperature was 39 degrees Fahrenheit and the high temperature was 47. One of the highlights of our trip was seeing a porcupine walking across campus. We think it was probably the famous dill prickles. Long Lake staff says it's been a month or so since dill was on campus. Our group also saw a red-bellied snake in the bog. We were told that this is a bit unusual.
There were also lots of signs of new life, including a handful of robin eggshells on the ground. We found bear paw prints in the mud and learned that a black bear had gotten through the electric fence into the beehives. He made a big mess. Our group also saw an orange butterfly, lots of garter snakes, a handful of deer, common loons, red grasshopper mites, snails, slugs, worms, chipmunks, and hairy and red-headed woodpeckers. We even found the bones of a dead chipmunk.
Someone in our group thought they saw a red fox. There was a gray squirrel eating the grape jelly and oranges that were left out for the Orioles. And a red squirrel sat in the window feeder pigging out on millet for about half an hour. It didn't care one bit that we were inches away staring at him. We are happy to report that we spotted mini dragonflies who were very busy eating the mosquitoes. It's a great time to be alive, and we want to remind everyone to unplug, get outside, and live connected.
Hey, thank you. Ian, Gloria, and Oz were the reporters there. Nice trip to Long Lake. Porcupine, maybe it was dill prickles. Red-bellied snake. Robin's eggshells. The birds don't just throw their eggshells over the edge. It's not like, oh, I got this baby now and I don't need the eggshell. I'm just going to pitch it over the edge. They pick them up and deliberately take them away from the nest and drop them. So you're going to find an eggshell here and an eggshell over there, but you're not going to find the nest right straight above you because mama knows that if she gives away her nest location, some sharp-eyed bird or squirrel or somebody is going to come and try to make a dinner out of her youngsters, and she doesn't want that to happen. Bear paw prints. The black bear had gotten through the electric fence and into the beehives. You know, it seems to me that if a bear can stand all the stinging that it gets from bees as it goes after honey, that an electric fence is just a minor inconvenience, just something to be crashed through to get to the good stuff. Lots of other things, orange butterflies, garter snakes, deer, loons, snails, slugs, worms, chipmunks, a red-headed woodpecker. I'm so envious. They are so beautiful. I got an email from a fellow who sent a picture, a couple of pictures of a red-headed woodpecker that was visiting his house. And wow, I just was jealous. I don't see them at my house. I can remember exactly where I was when I saw my last one. That's how distinctive and out of the ordinary those red-headed woodpeckers really are. And right, we're all thankful that there are lots of dragonflies out there eating the mosquitoes, because they're doing pretty well by themselves. Yeah, they're not suffering at all.
We heard from your friend Craig Bowron, your friend and mine. He says, shouldn't it be quill prickles?
Oh, yeah. Well, they need a writer up there, Craig. Maybe you could hire on as the staff writer for the Long Lake Conservation Center. That would be good. Yeah. So our final report then this morning comes from the North Shore Community School. And they are a regular contributors, and they do a really, really nice job. So here they are.
Hello from the North Shore Community School on the north shore of Lake Superior. This is the phenology report for the week of May 18th, 2024. My name is Jude, and I am your phenologist for this week. On Thursday, May 23rd, there was a full moon. It is known as the leafing out moon, according to the Ojibwe. On Wednesday, May 22nd, over a period of 30 hours, it was recorded that Two Harbors had received 3.02 inches of rain, and in Duluth, 1.58 inches of rain. A flood advisory was in place. On Friday, May 17th, Ms. Pearson Evans heard an oven bird behind our school. Over the weekend of May 18th, Ms. Urban saw Cape May warblers and her first ever blue-headed vireo. On Sunday night, May 19th, she heard a whippoorwill singing behind her house. Also, on this day, Penny and Eloise saw a flock of 13 cedar waxwings in Eloise's maple tree. And Penny saw an indigo bunting in her front yard. Gavin from Mrs. Felton's fourth grade class was excited to let us know that he had seen the first set of loons in the past weekend. This week, in the school forest, Miss Urban heard red-eyed vireos, black-throated green warblers, black and white warblers, chestnut-sided warblers, and rose-breasted grosbeaks. She saw an eastern phoebe hunting insects on Monday, May 20th. On Wednesday, May 22nd, Mrs. Lampless' class saw an osprey flying over the school. The aspen trees have fully leafed out, and the small maple leaves are growing larger. The fruit trees in the orchard are flowering this week. Mr. Keegan found a flowering jack in the pulpit by the stream on Thursday, May 23rd. Violets and strawberries are flowering in the school forest. The red elderberries are flowering in Mrs. Urban's yard. On Sunday, May 18th, Miss Jackson was outside and had to go inside late afternoon because the mosquitoes were fiercely biting. Trevin found a dragonfly larva and a predaceous diving beetle in the stream on Thursday, May 23rd. On Tuesday, May 21st, Miss Young's class found a small wood frog in the school forest. Miss Lounsbury's class found one on Thursday, May 23rd. Maybe it was the same one. On Monday, May 20th, at the creek, Magdalene found some sort of aquatic eggs attached to the bottom of a piece of garbage, and Serena found a small mussel. On Thursday, May 23rd, Sawyer measured the depth of Schmidt Creek, and it was 49 centimeters deep. Students' mud boots were not tall enough to withstand this depth. However, classes enjoyed stream study class in the deep water. This concludes the phenology report. Have a great week and be observant.
Thank you, Jude. That was a really nice report. Lots of great information in there. It's going to be hard to summarize it all. Pretty interesting. Two Harbors, 3.02 inches of rain, and Duluth, 1.58 inches in one day. Lots of different birds, Cape May warblers, blue-headed vireos, whippoorwills. Boy, that's a treat. Cedar waxwings, indigo buntings, loons, black and white, chestnut-sided, rose-breasted warblers, black-throated greens, red-eyed vireos, eastern phoebes. My word, lots of birds, lots and lots of birds. You got to get out and listen to them now, because they're going to stop singing at the end of June. And so now is the time to entertain yourself with their calls. Flowering Jack in the Pulpits, Violets and Strawberries, Red Elderberries, the apple trees, the decorative apple trees in the schoolyard are blooming. They are just, I would say they are a couple of days, maybe a day or two behind Grand Rapids. So interesting to note some of those things. Wood frog, aquatic eggs, small mussels, 49 centimeters. That's about 20 inches. That'll go up over your knee-high boots. And the kids, I'm sure, had wet feet, but a lot of fun. Heidi, I got this note from Richard Nackbar. Richard says, several folks have passed along comments regarding this spring season's foliage development. They believe that this year's brought unusually heavy volumes of foliage, resulting in decreased visibility as one looks into the forest. Thus, two questions for you. One, do you agree? And two, if so, do you think the tree's chemical hydraulic system is working overtime following last year's drought conditions and mild winter? First of all, Dick, I don't agree. I think that the development of the leaves was perhaps accelerated a little bit, but I didn't see anything that suggested in my data that, so I, on a lot of plants, I look at bud break. When do I first see the little bit of green coming out of the end of the bud? And when do I see the leaf stem? And so when does the leaf actually emerge from the bud? And looking at those numbers, that data set, there doesn't seem to be much of a difference in timing. The leaves were bud break and leaf out was close to average, within 3 days of average this year. And it seems like it was just the normal progression, a tiny bit early, but, you know, sort of not too early by any means. So I sent this question out anyway to a friend of mine who is Paul Hansen. He's the principal investigator for the Spruce Project, which is up in the Marcell area, the Marcell Experimental Forest project dealing with carbon sequestration in bogs. At any rate, Paul is a longtime scientist and has a great deal of experience with plants. And Paul says, he said, based on Smith Lake, that is where he lives, where his cabin is, he says, I don't agree. Here it seems thinner, but it might be behind. If it is happening, I would associate it with a mild winter conditions that resulted in higher than normal successful bud development. And then he closes that with his note, which is just one opinion. And so now you've got two opinions, mine and Paul's. And I really can't say. It doesn't seem to me like the development is anything beyond normal. It was quick, but the time between bud break and leaf out was consistent with past years when we have had, like last year when we had drought conditions. There didn't seem to be much of a difference. And in fact, looking at last year's data and this year's data, we were only off by a couple of days. Last year wasn't that much later. Was a tiny bit, usually 2 or maybe 3 days later than this year. This year was about 3 days ahead of average. Last year was pretty close to average. So I don't see it, I guess. And I don't know that the tree would respond to additional water resources. There's a limited amount of space for water in a tree. And it would seem to me that until it, you know, actually leafs out and begins pulling water up through the leaves, it's just going to be sort of the normal flow. And trees are pretty adaptable at finding water even when it's dry. They have roots that can exploit and find water resources because they lose water through their leaves all the time. Here's an interesting note. We were talking about cold water and swimming.
Yeah, yeah.
This comes from our friend Kathy Davies. And Kathy says, hi, John. The older I get, and she mentions that she is 68, the more eager I am to see if I can still water ski. Ah, my kind of woman. May 9th, the day we put Lily Pad, a 1977 pontoon, in the lake, I jumped in the water. Unlike last year, when it took three tries to get me up on skis, I popped right up. I've concluded that I didn't want to stay submerged again, so I gritted it out on the first try. Wanted to land near shore to avoid getting wet again. Came in a bit too hot, so I bailed in 5 feet of water to avoid doing a face plant on shore. I've done that. Skied again Sunday, fighting aging every day. Love your show, Kathy. Kathy, I admire you. I gave up water skiing it's been probably 10 years. I suppose I was about 65 when I went water skiing for the last time. I just decided that I had to, you know, move on to something safer. But I did enjoy water skiing and probably would do it again if it weren't for some folks who sort of are watching out for my well-being.
You do plenty of other risky-ish sort of things.
I have,
you know,
my hand in.
Thrilling,
yeah.
I find
ways to accelerate my adrenaline production. That's true. I do. Yeah. And water skiing was one of them for many, many, many years. I loved it, but I've given it up.
So many schools are, you know, it's graduation week, or it was last week, or it's coming up. And so that means, you know, we had some phonology reports this morning from, they're probably the last ones from those classrooms. And we need people to help us out this summer.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. If you have a child or a grandchild that's going to be staying with you, maybe you want to do a little phonology with them. And it can be something simple. You can go out in your yard and look at the plants that are growing right there, or you can take them for a little walk. I would encourage finding a track and repeating a hike. So pick out a nice walk with the kids in Cohasset. We go out and we walk around a block. It's four blocks around. So we walk around this block. And we just look at all the plants that are along the way, and there are plenty. So if you're in a town, you can just walk around the block and keep track of everything that's going along there that's blooming. You know, it can be the flowers in somebody's yard. It can be domestic flowers. It can be whatever. It can be the trees, and it can be the birds you hear or see. It can be the frogs and snakes you run into. It really doesn't matter. I think the important thing is that you get out and you enjoy being outside and, you know, take a kid with you and let them have that experience. Show them your enthusiasm and your love for nature, and they will learn that behavior. And if you can get one kid to go outside and be enthralled, as some of us are, you will have done a great service to yourself, to your child, your grandchild, and to the world. We need more people who are just kind of keeping track of what's happening out there. And you can be that person.
It's really easy to do. You could just make a voice memo on your phone, have them record what they saw. You can send it our way. You can text it to 218-326-1234 or email us comments@kaxc.org. We heard from the kids at Little Falls. Now, you've been to their classroom?
I have been, yeah.
And they are planning, they're hoping to do some stuff with us over the summer. They manage a very cool Instagram account, Little Falls Phonology, with some great photos that you can check out if you're on Instagram.
I'm not familiar with Instagram. How does one do that? I mean, you'd have to load the... Is there an app for Instagram?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's actually owned by Facebook. So if you have a Facebook account, super easy to do it. Download the app and log in under your Facebook account.
Okay.
And then start following people.
And then you can go and follow the Little Falls
Phonology. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And you can find it there.
And they had, you showed me on your phone that they have a bunch of pictures of things that are taking place right now. You can do the same thing. You know, use your phone as a phonology tool. The phone automatically records the date. And if you have it set up, it will record the location and it will show you exactly where you are and what you're doing. Yeah, there's a picture of a lovely dragonfly. Did they identify it? Oh, and a tree frog. Yeah, it's gorgeous. Yeah, it's amazing. Amazing. Oh, and Columbine. Yeah, I didn't.
That's right.
Yeah, so absolutely. If you have a child, a grandchild, on my phone, if I make a recording of a voice recording, when I stop the recording, I get this little, I don't know, like a fork in the road. It's a little thing that tells you you can share this with people. And if you just click on that little icon at the bottom of your screen and then put in, what, KAXE? Is that it?
Yeah, you can do 218-326-1234. You can send it to us as a text or email us at as well. We do have time to listen to that Little Falls classroom.
No, oh, good. Let's
hear phonology report that came in this week.
Yeah.
This is Mr. Kaditz's first hour class in Little Falls Middle School. This is our phonology report for the week of May 26th.
Today is our last day of school, so this will be our last official report for the year. But hopefully we will be able to continue sending some reports over the summer, as well as updating our phonology Instagram page.
Lily pads are fully up on ponds and lakes, and there are multiple families of geese and ducks on every body of water in the area.
There are several different types of tadpoles in ponds and wetlands, and we've also found a tiger salamander in some damp soil of a garden.
There are wood anemones, wild strawberries and wild geraniums blooming in the woods, and prairie smoke and wild columbine are blooming in the meadows.
The most exciting insect find this week was a rosy maple moth. They are a unique pink and yellow colored moth.
There are mosquitoes everywhere. Obviously, the recent wet weather has really helped their population. At least the bats and dragonflies will be well fed.
This week we spotted a black hole warbler, Cape May warbler, red eye vireo, scarlet tanager, indigo bunting, and a chimney swift.
The tree swallows are very active and loud around the bluebird houses.
We are seeing several turtles on land, both snapping and painted turtles. We are assuming they are females looking for a place to lay their eggs. We encourage everyone to be on the lookout for turtles this time of year and assist them in crossing any dangerous roads.
Thank you for allowing us to be part of the phonology broadcast and to share our discoveries throughout the year.
That is our report for this week. Until next year, keep exploring, keep discovering, and keep connecting with the great outdoors.
We're hoping to hear from them this summer and hoping to hear from you. If you have questions or photos to share, send them our way. You can email comments at kaxe.org. We did get a call from Dave Lick.
Yeah, Dave was wondering what's the average date for bluebird nesting. And he's noticing that they are nesting now, and this seems a bit late. It is a bit late, but I have data that shows that, the average date turns out to be sort of the end of the first week in April. So April 8th, 9th, 10th, up through the 12th, 15th, I have a lot of notes of bluebirds on the nest, but I also have notes for late March or late May. Of the same thing. I have, let's see, where is that right there? May 10th, first time on nest. And there are probably some others. It's a long list of notes about bluebirds. But there's May 4th, May 20th, May 21st, May 10th. So it seems like they... You know, I see them come back about the same time as the robins early in the spring, but oftentimes it takes them a while to find a nest or to find a mate, and so they can delay that. And I would not worry about the bluebirds. I think if they found a nest box that they like, more power to them. Just stand by and enjoy. They seem to have a sort of a not firm date on nesting. They're not like the eagle or some of those other birds, like the raven or the great horned owl, that just like, today's the day and we're going to do it today or we're not going to do it. So, yeah, interesting. Thanks, Dave. Good to hear from you.